Would you stand for our confession of faith? Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our scriptures today are the scriptures selected for this Men's Day, beginning with Isaiah's 53rd chapter, verse 5, through Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6, Joshua 24, verse 15, and concluding with John's 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Beloved, these are words from on high, the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Following our hymn of preparation, the selection by the men's choir this morning, the next voice you will hear will be that of Dr. Gregory Parham. Dr. Parham is no stranger to us. He has led us on several previous occasions. He is a leader on our district, a leader of our district training sessions for certified lay ministers and lay servants, along with his wife, the other Dr. Parham. And so we are blessed and privileged to have him with us again on this precious Men's Day. So let us acknowledge him in advance and praise God for his time with us on this day.
Too close to the mirror. to see what you see in me. Good morning, Ebenezer.
Good morning.
It's so good to be here once again to share with you all. As you, some of you may remember, my uncle and aunt were members of this great House of Zion, Junius and Virginia South Hall. They've gone on to glory now, but you know, we still think of them, particularly on a Veterans Day. My uncle was a veteran, and so I would like this morning, really, for all of our veterans to please stand on this Veterans Sunday. All of our veterans, please stand. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. And now, while I realize that many of the ones who stood were members of the armed services, there is another service. There's called a uniform service, the public health service. So I was standing as well. I was a member of the public health service, which is the one that fights with syringes and sanitary sewers. You know, we try to make things healthy for people around the world and fight disease. Yes. But there is also a uniform service that does that, and I was part of that a long time ago. Let's just say that, okay, in my younger days. But again, we honor all of our veterans on this another day that the Lord has made, a day in which we can rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Yes. And I must say that I am exceedingly glad to stand before you today because in the last year, I've had some difficulty myself. You know, the cancer bug decided to attack my throat. And so I spent a little time in the hospital. And last year, if this had been Men's Day, I would not have been able to be with you because I was still in recovery and could barely speak at that particular time. But you see, my voice is strong today because God is good, and he is good all the time. So I give him thanks and praise for being able to be with you today and to bring a few words on this Men's Day. You know, when Brother Jones sent me the theme, it's one of the longest themes that I had seen in a while. You know, Christian men of today, let us use the examples of men chosen by God to call others to worship, trust, and obey our living God, okay? And then I said, well, that's kind of a long theme. But then, you know, I saw that there were four different scriptures. I said, well, my goodness, how in the world am I going to tie all of this together? So I had some thoughts about how to do that. And if you will bear with me for a few minutes, we will attempt to do that indeed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we come as humbly as we know how, because we come, Heavenly Father, to give you the honor, to give you the glory, to give you the praise. Yes. And now, Heavenly Father, as the time for the spoken word has come, I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Christian men of today, let us use the examples of men chosen by God to call others to worship, trust, and obey our living God. Yes. We can, each one of us, be an example of a man chosen and called by God to call others to Christ, which is our duty as disciples of Jesus Christ. It is through our daily living, of course, that we give evidence that we are in tune with the examples of men chosen by God in our scripture readings for today. The first reading came from your pastor, from Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Wounded and crushed because of us. Think of that. Because of our turning away. Because of our disobedience, because of our sin, and yet he willingly heals us and makes us whole again. Yes. Now, who wouldn't serve a God like that? By his wounds, his pain, and his horrific suffering, we are indeed healed people today. Yes. God has provided a way through any and every circumstance that we might face in our lives. By the stripes and bruises of Jesus, we are healed, and not by our own goodness, but by his merciful goodness. Because of Jesus Christ's suffering, we can be healed from the wounds of our sins and the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve, including spiritual death. Through faith in Jesus, we have been healed and made whole by his sacrifice on the cross. The word translated healed in Isaiah 53:5 is the Hebrew word rapha. We see this word also used in Exodus 15 and 26 when God reveals himself as the Lord who heals or is the great physician, which in Hebrew reveals God as Jehovah Rapha. When I was in that hospital bed, Jehovah Rapha was on my mind because I was always asking for his healing power. And you know what? He answered my prayer. So why serve him today then, Ebenezer? Why serve, why trust, why follow is the topic that I've taken. So why serve him? Well, our second scripture that was read relates the experience and the example of Joshua. After taking over as God's anointed and God's appointed leader of the Israelites after the death of Moses, Joshua led them to many victories over the years as they occupied and settled in the land of Canaan. His farewell address in chapters 23 and 24 give a summation of all that the Lord God had done for him and for all of Israel. Yes. Beginning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he recounted the history of Israel from the time of going to Egypt to the time of Moses and Aaron and the plagues to the time that they left Egypt and were pursued by Pharaoh's army. But he continued to talk about their protection by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Mm-hmm. The miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, yes, to the provision of water, manna, and meat in the wilderness, mm-hmm, while they were wandering around, to victories over the inhabitants of the promised land of Canaan, mm-hmm, including the city of Jericho. You remember the story. Joshua recounted how the Lord had given them land for which they did not labor, given them cities that they did not build, and that they were able to eat fruit from vineyards and olive groves that they did not plant. All this God had done for them. So serve the Lord was Joshua's final admonition to the people as he declared that considering all the Lord had done in his life and for the people of Israel, his closing statement was, now if you are unwilling to fear the Lord, honoring him with sincerity and truth, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Yes. But then he set an example. But as for me and my house, me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Yes. Not just Joshua alone, notice men, but because of his leadership, his entire family. Mm-hmm. And he expects no less from us. That we be able to say, but as for me and my household, yes, we will serve the Lord. Yes. So why serve, men of Ebenezer? Because the Lord God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. Always willing to provide for our every need and even some of our wants. Mm. He is ever ready to fight our battles, be they physical, be they mental, or be they spiritual. And for the believer, there is the promise on which we can stand that there is no weapon formed against us that will ever prosper. Again, I ask, who wouldn't serve a God like that? So why trust him? We talked about why serve him. So why trust him? Our third scripture from the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, is actually one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart, yes, and do not rely on your own insight. I learned it in the olden days in King James. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. King James had, and he will direct your path. Allowing God to be your guide then begins with a commitment to trust, which is at the very heart of our faith. The very heart of our faith is to trust in God, yes, to realize that our own understanding is not complete, that our own understanding is not always accurate. Mm-hmm. As believers, we must acknowledge the wisdom of God in our lives. We must do that. You know, sometimes we can get a little too prideful, thinking that we can do things on our own, by ourselves, that our initiative and our perseverance is the reason for our individual success, that we made it on our own. But let me just say to you, nothing could be further from the truth. We need God, and we need him every day, every hour, every minute, every second. This passage teaches us to trust God with all of our heart and not depend on what we think we know. We should at all times include God in everything that we do. And this way, we give him a chance to keep us on the right track. We can apply these verses, of course, to any situation, trusting God, our Lord, because he knows what to do. We do not always know what to do, and relying on our own wisdom or intelligence will sometimes mislead us. When we involve God in every action that we take, we will always, always, always arrive at the right solution. Yes. When we trust in God with all our heart, it means that we leave no room for doubt. We believe what he says because we know he is always right and will never deceive us. Indeed, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. God is trustworthy, God is faithful, and God has proven himself throughout time. He is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and what he has done for others, he will indeed do for you. If Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote, "Do not rely on your own insight," it is because it is only natural that we sometimes think that we have the answer, that we know the correct action to take. But without God, can it really be so? Indeed, one interpretation of this phrase is to let go and let God. We have to let go of what we think we know so that God can show us the way to go. God has given us the Holy Spirit to show us the truth in every situation that we face in life. So why trust, men and women of Ebenezer? Psalm 27 provides a good explanation for how God directs our path. Our steps, and it quote, "Our steps are made firm by the Lord when he delights in our way. Though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand." He will keep our steps steady based on his promises. He will order our steps, lead us, guide us every day, and send his anointing ever our way. Yes. He will order our steps, and he will make straight our paths. Mm-hmm. So why follow him? Our fourth and final scripture is one with which we are all familiar, John 14, 1 and 6. It was read before, but let me just read it one more time. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Mm-hmm. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus first comforts his disciples by letting them know that he has plenty of space prepared for them, and that as his disciples, they will join him upon his return. But Thomas, the doubting, questioning, ever wondering Thomas, spoke up for everyone when Jesus said, "And you know the way to the place I am going." Thomas thought, "Was Jesus, you go up to the mountains to pray, you walk on water at night, how in this world do we know what you will do or where you will go next?" So he was just wondering, how could it be? Jesus responded to him, however, and said, and is responding to us today, is to follow him is to know that he is the way. He is our GPS. He is the truth which sets us free. And he is the life, both now and forevermore. He is the way to the Father, so the disciples and each of us can be without confusion on how to get there and be with him. Jesus is preparing a new, wonderful, permanent place for each person in the body of Christ, where he wants us to be with him forever. I mention about GPS because, you know, you can't buy a vehicle now without it having, you know, the system for letting you know where to go, the navigation system. So if we can put that in our cars, our vehicles, and everywhere, you know, the idea is that the Holy Spirit is the GPS within each and every one of us. It tells us which way to go. Now, sometimes, you know, on a GPS, if you turn the wrong way, well, it used to be, the new ones don't say it, but it would say recalculating. Okay, and it would try to figure out another way for you to go. Okay, but you know, the Holy Spirit also, it doesn't say recalculated, it says, you know better. Okay, which is this way of saying recalculate and do it now. You know better. Okay, and so the idea is that when we have the way, the truth, and the life in us, it lets us know which way to go. So you see, he, Jesus, is the way to the Father, so the disciples and each one of us can be without confusion on how to get there and to be with him.
Yes.
What Jesus told his disciples and is still telling us today is that there are no options on the route to eternal life. Mm-hmm. No options. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. Christ reassures us today, his followers, that faith in him is indeed faith in God. To know Christ is to know the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
The words, actions, and miracles of Jesus should give all of us confidence to trust that he will make good on his promises, that we can stand on his promises.
Yes.
Men and women of Ebenezer, who wouldn't follow, who wouldn't trust, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being our way, our truth, and our life.
Yes.
Guide us in your path.
Yes.
Let your truth govern our choices and fill us with your life-giving spirit. In times of doubt, in times of confusion, no matter what the situation of the past week or fatigue, remind us to continue to serve you.
Yes.
Remind us to trust in you. And remind us that you are our compass, our way, our clarity, our truth, and our vitality, our life. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Ebenezer.
Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
We praise God for that uplifting message and praise God for the messenger. As you have heard him share, God has brought him a mighty long way, and he is a living example of God's healing power and of what God can do. I don't know if you heard him say two words, throat cancer. And yet here he is today with us, his voice loud and strong.
Speaking so God is.